Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
Yes, and work they will over at NRG Stadium today.
Ooh. Yeah, that's right.
They got practice today, Seth. Open to the media. Practice at 8:30 a.m. over at NRG Stadium.
Oh, yet another in this long-standing commitment by the Texans to ban the morning show from OTA practice.
They are. They're trying to hold us down because we got all those nuggets from Nick Caserio yesterday. They're like, we got to put a muzzle on those morning show guys.
Sure, the rest of the media gets to get out there and watch as guys stretch and walk through. And then they shuttle everybody off.
They're actually not shuttling people off. They get to stay for all of the stretching and all of the running around today.
Right, yeah. but then they shuttle them off during the team drills, right?
No, they're staying practice today. They can only shoot during the first 20 minutes. Other than that, it's a lot. They're treating it like training camp, where you can only have your cameras going for the first 20 minutes, but you get to watch all the other chicanery going on.
It's not 90 degrees this week until Thursday.
Oh.
So, and for the most part, you know, when you draft a bunch of guys from the SEC and the Big 12, you don't worry too much about the heat. I guess Thomas Booker played at Stanford.
Yep, he'll feel it.
The Tegan Quatoriano played at Oregon State. Those guys might be feeling
it a
little bit.
He's going to melt.
I mean, it gets hot in California, but up in Northern California, it's a dry heat.
Yeah, Corvallis is downright pleasant. Poor Quatoriano, that guy. Keep an eye on him.
Quatoriano's going to be a mess.
Yeah, keep the stretcher nearby for Quatoriano. But other than that, you're right. They all come from warm weather. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm good. Yeah. Look, I'm not worried about the Astros. Okay. The fact that they either score 40 points or none at all doesn't concern me a bit. Because I think they'll turn this back around. I think that some of the weird things about the Astros are that they're second in the AL in home runs. They're like leading the league in doubles. They do all these things that they would hint at them being a really productive baseball team, and yet they're not. They don't score runs. It's the advanced stat nerd that I am. That's the most advanced stat that I like to cite sometimes is runs scored.
Yes, that is an important advanced stat, runs scored. For those who are just waking up, the Astros lost last night to Cleveland 6-1. And you're right, that's the most frustrating thing about this team to me is that if you look at the overall stats, pretty much every year, look, most years, the last 4 or 5 years, they've been elite at everything offensively.
Yeah.
This year, they're good. They're not great. They're pretty good. But it's been this way for a few years now where these stats are not accumulated by them going out and scoring 5 or 6 runs every night or something close to it. They are a feast or famine team. And a lot of times, they're feast or famine within games. They bury you with big innings and things like that. That's the most frustrating thing about this Astros team, Seth, and it's been this way for a while, is that the bad nights, you can tell they're bad. Like 2 or 3 innings into the game, you're like,
I mean, the last
going to be one of these games.
This series is going to be rough because they're working on 33 out of 34.
Yeah,
33 games in
they're
34 days.
Seth, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, they've had one off day, whatever the actual number is, one off day in the last 30 plus days. And that's where, like, I don't fault Dusty for resting guys en masse sometimes because they're going through a stretch here. Because remember, Manfred had said, "Hey, we're taking these games and we're not giving them back.
That's right.
And then it turned out that he was lying about that.
He gave them all back, yeah.
This part of the schedule is going to happen regardless. But I the fact that they've been as good as they have in this stretch, it doesn't freak me out a little bit. Chandler Rome had put the stats that were kind of eye-popping, that despite being just a slightly above average offense, even in the month of May when they've kicked it back into high gear, they're not that far above average. They're nothing like they were last year.
Right.
But entering last night's game, they were a league-leading – they had a league-leading 132 extra base hits. They're second in home runs. They had the highest OPS plus, fifth highest slugging percentage. The what the hell? See, this is where sometimes – okay. And they had another couple of stats in there. Where,
they're a good
team.
Were
conflicting. Yeah.
So that was the point. They're a good baseball team?
Yeah, I get frustrated sometimes.
You got to stop putting Chandler Rome stuff in the Astros.
I got to stop just like quote tweeting it. Quoting it and then realizing, oh, there's an inconsistency here.
That would be my suggestion. Chandler Rome does a nice job, but for whatever reason, his wording gets glitchy sometimes on some things.
Yeah.
So that I would suggest.
That was my fault. I didn't transcribe it right. They're the third highest OPS plus in the
okay.
That was my fault completely. Third highest OPS plus in the league.
This McKenzie guy last night. He is something else.
Yeah, I like him because he, Chris Sale, other guys like that, they don't succumb to this Instagram peer pressure
at all.
They're not out there being like, oh, I got to look like a rock. I guess I better load up on the creatine and do some bicep curls. They just let it out. That's baseball is one of the best sports for that reason, that they haven't succumbed to the tyranny of the weight room completely. Where every other sport, everybody's gotten all muscled up. Like, you look at most athletes in most sports compared to what they looked like in the 70s and 80s, and it's like they're different species or something. They're mutants today because everybody, football has been like that for a while, but for the longest time in baseball, it was like, oh, you don't want to get muscle bound. I like that baseball pitchers specifically just don't give a damn.
Okay.
And there's still something to be said for being lanky and rubber bandy-ish.
So, yeah. And Tristan McKenzie is that. So has Tristan McKenzie ever touched a weight in his life?
I bet he does. I bet he's one of these guys like Chris Sale who like claims they eat 7,000 calories a day and can't gain weight.
I actually believe that. I think sometimes the super skinny guys are like that. Like they're going to be super skinny no matter what it is they do.
Well, and plus, some of those super skinny guys are super strong, too. There's, I'm going to send you a video when I find it later of this super skinny kid who's ridiculously strong with deadlifts. So he all his videos are him walking into some gym at like the busiest time of day with a bunch of bros standing around kind of staring at him, pissed off that he's taking up a deadlifting platform or something. And then he just keeps stacking weights on and he's outlifting everybody. And it's not that he's short. He's like tall and lanky and skinny.
Is it Chet Holmgren?
It looks like somebody could kick sand in his face, and he's just ridiculously strong. I like that kid.
Oh, yeah. Please tell me it's Chet Holmgren.
I don't think the Rockets are going to end up with Chet.
I don't think they are either.
Chet's going to go in the top two.
I think some other team is going to get duped into drafting Chet Holmgren.
You're going to be hearing about it every day if Chet Holmgren ends up being awesome.
I will.
That's what it is. I was about to say what you were going to do, but then I realized, like, no, I'm just going to remind you every day. We're going to have for those of you who complain we don't talk enough NBA, if Chet Holmgren goes off, every segment will be a Chet Holmgren update.
That's going to remind me.
Yeah. He's like Kevin Durant, but tougher. Woo! He's like Kevin Durant, but he's fun on social media. Woo!
I know. I'm so anti-Chet. He's just got one of those faces. I look at him, I'm like, God, I just can't imagine using the third overall pick on that guy. But
you know what, he's when I saw him standing on the lottery night where he was wearing a suit, and he just looks like the 12-year-old who just got that tall, and kind of gawky, his arms are too long, and I looked for it. I didn't see any articles saying that he's still growing, but he's got the body of a guy who's still growing.
He does, but he's like 7'1". Like, if he's
wouldn't you be worried if it turned out that he was still growing? Because then you just don't know. What if he outgrew? What if he doesn't gain any weight and he ends up being 7 inches taller? He's like a minute bowl type.
He's a line. He's not. He doesn't even have a physique. He's just a line.
Like, that guy would be minute bowl. He'd be a severe.
He would be minute bowl
injury risk.
Yep, he would be minute bowl. He would.
R.I.P. Manute Bol.
Yeah.
My brother got his autograph when we were on vacation in Rhode Island. Remember, he played for that Rhode Island team when he first
The Rhode Island Gulls. He and Spud Webb. Yeah.
We were visiting relatives. It was 4th of July weekend in Rhode Island. And my brother is a super smart little sports fan. He wasn't that old, but he's like, that's Manute Bol. I'm like, how'd you make him? Is it because it was the 7'8" guy over there?
Your brother's superhero power. He can pick out 7'6" athletes from a crowd.
You find me a 7'8" Cameroonian. And it's like finding a Where's Waldo.
Aha!
I think he was from Cameroon, wasn't he?
I think he was from Sudan.
All Sudanese.
He played at the University of Bridgeport.
He was Sudanese.
In lovely Bridgeport, Connecticut. And I say...
Well, he was 7 foot. He's listed as 7'6". How tall is Shaq?
7'2".
Okay. Yeah. And Yao is what, like 7'4"?
He's like 7'5". Yao, I think, was like 7'5". Yeah.
He was 7'5". So Yao is that... That's how... Like, until you ever saw Yao in person, you had no way of appreciating just how massive he was.
But he wasn't skinny either. Like, gargantuan.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, because he's so tall, you would just assume that, okay, he's a super skinny guy. Yep. He's like, no, he was wide, too.
Yep.
If you put him next to Manute Bol, you could probably fit 3 Manute Bols inside of 1 Yao.
Yes.
Especially now.
Yeah.
He's gained a little weight.
Yao, if you're listening, it's good.
Well, Manute has lost a few, too. So,
well, yeah.
But if you take living Manute Bol and put him inside current Yao, you could probably fit 3
of them.
This
is the worst one of those little ceramic things. What do they call those things?
Babushka doll.
Yeah, this is the most disgusting babushka doll of
all
time.
And yet the most refreshingly multinational one.
That is true. It's very
equal. It's a Russian
doll
made of multiple Cameroonians jammed inside a Chinese giant.
A Chinese giant and a dead Sudanese person, yes.
Yes.
All right, we're off and running, as you can tell, here on a Tuesday, Payne and Pendergast. Let's get over to the Texans. They've got practice this morning at 8:30. Will he be out there? Won't he be out there? Nick Caserio, the one big nugget we got from Nick Caserio that got some traction yesterday on one of the Texans rookies. We've got it for you. If you missed it, we've got it for you next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Good to be with you on a Tuesday, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Texans back out on the practice field in a couple of hours, 8:30 this morning. The guys on In the Loop will have A.J. Cann on the show after practice. New Texans right guard, I'm assuming he's going to be, if the offensive line plays out the way we think it will. Nick Caserio was on with us yesterday, and we asked him about Derek Stingley, the first overall pick. He gave us the scouting report on Derek Stingley, but then kind of impromptu, he laid out the timeline for Derek Stingley coming back from his foot injury.
You know, from a health standpoint, that's always a question. You know, where was he or where is he from a foot standpoint? So, I mean, I think in the end we felt comfortable with what the final diagnosis was going to be. I'd say he's certainly working through it here this spring. You know, I think we'll probably, and I'd say that he's at least making some progress. I'd say he definitely still has some work to do just in terms of being ready to go for camp.
That got a lot of run yesterday, Seth. That quote right there, Derek Stingley's got a lot of work to do. Nick volunteered that information. I was going to follow up with a question about his health, just about what made you comfortable about the foot. Nick proactively tagged that on to his scouting report on Derek Stingley. That got a lot of run yesterday, that he's got work to do to be ready for camp. How concerned are we? You were a little concerned yesterday about that. You've had a chance to sleep on it now.
Yeah.
Are you more concerned, less concerned, or same amount of concern?
Same amount of concernedness. So it's impossible to say whether it's a good thing, a bad thing. Was it an unexpected setback? Was he doing okay and now he's doing worse? Did he injure himself? Mm-hmm. I don't know all those things.
Yeah.
I think Nick Caserio has kind of shown a trend of doing this a little bit. I think he tries to send up warning flares about something. So whether it's trading back in the draft, which they ultimately didn't end up doing with a number three pick, but he put that out there very early, I think, to prep people that, look, hey, I know you're married to this number three overall pick, but there's a chance we could move back. And I think that's probably the smart thing to do for sometimes having the reputation of, not caring what the public thinks or think. Mm-hmm. I think Caserio tries to massage it a little bit, at least.
He it's funny you say that. He also, I remember, I thought about this yesterday. At one point, during one of the media availabilities that he did, either on our show or an actual media availability, a press conference, prior to the draft, it might have been the one that he did for all the media the week before the draft, he had an answer where he specifically addressed injured prospects.
Yeah.
You know, taking a look at injured prospects and trying to factor that into their value. I think everybody assumed that meant maybe a Jameson Williams was coming back from the ACL. I think a lot of people thought maybe it meant the Ajabu kid from David Ajabu from Michigan, who might get a redshirt year here with Baltimore because he's coming back from a pretty serious Achilles tear that he suffered during the pro days at Michigan. But Derek Stingley fits that category. He's a guy coming back from an injury.
Well, Derek Stingley, remember his draft stock, his supposed draft stock, fluctuated wildly because he went from being a guy that forever people thought was going to be a top three pick to then not even a top 10 pick. Oh, what are you talking about? Derek Stingley, he's not even a top 10 pick. And then after he did his pro day and kind of people could be reminded of just how freakishly athletic he is, he vaulted back up there. So, yeah, I think whenever Nick had said it, it might have been during that lull in the Derek Stingley draft stock status. I think that I'm not overly concerned about it other than it is a foot/ankle type of issue. And that whenever Liz Frank can mean a lot of things, it's a mid-foot bone/ligament issue, and sometimes that means multiple bones, just because there's so many bones in your sometimes a ligament after it's repaired or after it heals ends up behaving differently and they got to tweak things. So ever since, whether it's Matt Schaub or anybody else, they always say, oh yeah, Liz Frank's no big deal, and I feel like they're talking about maybe a normal life if what you're trying to get back to is mow the lawn.
Yeah,
it might be a little bit different if you're supposed to be a world-class defensive back.
Yeah,
the demands might be a little bit more complex.
This is where things like the pro day factor in for me. Is Derek Stingley got drafted third overall, and he's got this foot issue, and he's still coming back from it, but he did run a 4.37 at his pro day.
Like, yeah,
he's done something physical using that foot at an elite level within the last couple of months. So if this was just the normal trajectory and the Texans were planning for this, then obviously I'm not as concerned about it. They were planning for, we just don't know if this is something, as you pointed out, Seth, we don't know if this is a new issue or not.
Yeah, I guess the whole thing about the 40, Sean, is that one single instance of running and jumping fast on one day, it's better than nothing. But it doesn't really tell you a whole lot about how somebody's going to withstand to a week of practice or an entire football game. The same thing happens with anybody coming back from any injury. This is one of the dangers and one of the things that happens is that in a rehab environment, you can look really good and you're back up to doing as much in the weight room as you did beforehand, or just maybe not even in the weight room, but running a 40 or running certain things, you look just as fast. But then you get out and try to do it for 2 hours against other people who are moving really fast, and it's a whole different deal. And I said weight room at first, and that is part of it. But I know, one thing that used to drive Dan Riley, the strength coach, crazy, was that the physical therapists or the trainers might release a guy to go practice, and they'd say, okay, you can go lift weights now too. And Dan would get him in the weight room, and he'd be like, this guy is like 25% weaker than he usually is, and you're putting him out on a football field. What the hell? So it's never as simple as just like, oh, yeah, look, he can run fast again.
Yeah. It's, you know what? We need to psychoanalyze how you and I process these injuries, because it's weird. I'm not super concerned about Stingley. You're more concerned than I am. I'm still super concerned about Lance McCullers, and yet I feel like with McCullers, you're less concerned. I don't know what – there's something there. I just don't know what it is.
I guess with McCullers, part of it is that there's so many good pitchers on the staff already.
Okay.
If they were scraping the bottom of the barrel with their fourth and fifth pitcher –
can't say that
like,
about
okay.
Corner on the Texans.
No. Yeah, so I think that might be as – it might be as simple as that.
That's true.
And I've kind of accepted that with Lance – you're going to expect adversity at some point in the season. So maybe I'm delusional about this, but I kind of figure, hey, you know what? Get it out of the way in the first half of the season. He'll be good and fresh and ready to go in the postseason.
Yeah, you've got it baked into your analysis already. That's what a good stat nerd does.
The other thing about the 40 time, Sean, aside from the experience that I have with it through multiple injuries, for linemen especially, this is what happens. In the off season, you get really strong in the weight room.
Yeah.
You get explosive. Maybe you put on 20 pounds, and you know that it's all good weight. And it must be because I'm running I ran the fastest 40 I've ever run. Then you get out into like 45 minutes into a 95-degree day practice.
Doesn't matter. And
where's that 40 now?
Yeah,
you can't even finish a 40, you fat sow.
Doesn't matter.
Lose some weight. Yeah.
You lose some weight. Hey, join us for a toast to the general – John McClain, Wednesday, June 15th at the Houston Improv. I'll be emceeing it, but the main eventers are the main event is John McClain, but the special guests, Mean Joe Green, Kenny Houston, Robert Brazil, Patty Smith, Dan Pastorini, Elvin Bethea, Gary Kubiak, a whole lot more. Tickets are on sale now. They're going fast. There are still some tickets left, but it's for a great cause. It's for Be an Angel. That's Dan Pastorini's charity that benefits children with special needs, presented by Sterling McCall Automotive, a Group 1 company, and, of course, we are a sponsor of it as well here at Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. A toast to the general, John McClain. You can get your tickets at the Houston Improv, Ticketmaster.com. So get that done now. Be there. It's going to be a fun, fun night. June 15th, it's a Wednesday. Benefits a great cause. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, up next, the Deshaun Watson HBO special is tonight. Rusty Harden was on a podcast yesterday and laid out what needs to happen going forward before finding out what the decision is going to be on Deshaun Watson. And he also laid out some of what the details from the meetings that Deshaun had with the NFL. We'll hear from Rusty Harden next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Seth sent me a TikTok during the break, and now I'm super distracted.
Yeah, it's the hefty fella that's doing a lightsaber battle.
Hefty.
I think that guy's been around the internet for a while doing lightsaber stuff.
Has he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he survived this tumble that he took in this TikTok right here?
I think so. He got knocked the hell out. I think, you know what, Sean, it's one of those things where when you discover something on the internet that's been around forever, people act like they can't believe that you've never seen this before.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing happened to me. I was on the other side of it when that kid that jumps off of things onto tables, and right before he says bleep this bleep.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Superhuman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's been around forever.
Yeah.
But like, I just saw one of his videos went viral the other week, and everybody is saying like, "Oh my gosh, people got to find out about this kid."
He's
and I was the one saying like, "Oh, everybody knows about that kid."
He's been around for like 3 years now. It's a miracle he survived some of the stuff he's done.
It's really, I think it's been even more like 5, 6, 7 years.
Has it really been that long?
Yeah.
I remember when Amy and I discovered him. One of us discovered him like one morning when the other one's sleeping. You know, you know, your wife is sleeping, so you're on your phone just going through mindless stuff on the internet, and we found it, and we laid there and binge watched all of his throwing himself through flaming tables videos for the next 2 hours, and we laughed the whole time. It was great.
Yeah, that's where I try to discipline myself with social media usages. Brandy and I watch. We allow ourselves like 5 or 10 minutes of TikTok before bed.
Nice.
We put the algorithm to work to where it's mostly funny animal videos. As long as you just like every funny animal video, they'll start popping up. And then it's good. It calms your amygdala down a little bit.
Yep.
You can sleep well together.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's the old saying, in moderation, right? Good things in moderation, like alcohol and TikTok. Deshaun Watson's HBO. It's not Deshaun Watson's
moderation.
HBO special. Yeah.
So,
speaking of an inability
from moderation
to Deshaun Watson,
Deshaun Watson
and his 22 accusers. So HBO Real Sports tonight has its feature on Deshaun Watson, where they interview the promotion of this HBO special said several of Deshaun Watson's accusers. Florio had an article yesterday in which Tony Busby says that two of his clients spoke to HBO. So yeah. Florio did a deep dive on that yesterday about, okay, is several misleading in promoting this thing? Is two...
Homeowners Association Florio has to dive into the stuff that really matters.
Does two constitute several? Well, I do think that it is a little misleading if you're saying several and the number winds up being two.
Yeah, well, I guess what we don't know is that not every woman who accused him is either A, being
plaintiff.
Represented by Busby,
right,
or B, actually press charges.
Yep.
The woman in the Sports Illustrated article, as far as I know, still never press charges. If I remember that correctly, the woman that did the interview on YouTube, remember, she was not planning on suing or pressing charges.
Yep.
So there's at least a couple women out there who maybe did interviews with HBO but that were involved with Busby.
I tried to find that out yesterday. I actually DM'd Soledad O'Brien on Twitter. She's the reporter who put this feature together that's going to run tonight on HBO. I tried to get her on the show, but she's on a plane right now. But I followed up with her with a DM, and I asked her, were the women that were interviewed in this feature, were they only Busby clients or were there other women as well? She has not gotten back to me yet. So I'm doing my best to find out exactly what we mean by several here in the promotion.
She told you she's going to be on an airplane. Where's the airplane going?
She didn't say. I didn't pry either.
Is she flying private?
None of my business. I don't know. Probably.
On that show on Apple TV, the morning show, they fly like the morning show around on a big private jet everywhere, and I'm skeptical of that.
Just like Sports Radio 610.
Yeah. I don't know if the budget for a network television remains quite what it used to be.
No, it's
where they're flying the entire, like at the drop of a hat, they're like, to fire up the Gulfstream.
Yeah.
We got to send three TV people to Sacramento.
Are you, how intrigued are you? We're going to get to Rusty Harden here in a second. Rusty Harden was on the Between the Lines podcast yesterday and laid out some things with respect to the timeline in the NFL and Deshaun Watson. I don't know, scale of 1 to 10, how intrigued are you by this thing tonight on HBO?
I think that this is the first time that women will be speaking on a national stage. We've seen between the YouTube video, between Ashley Solis and a couple of the other women a couple times. I think we've had more exposure to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we'll have any revelations. I mean, we've seen the statements by all the women and know a lot of the details. But for the public at large outside the city of Houston, I think it'll probably move the meter in a big way.
Yeah, I do too.
Once you actually attach a person to it and see that a person's out there and putting themselves up to scrutiny and seeing their faces, it sways you. Whether it's in any direction with anything, once you attach a human to it, it's a different feel. So I think in Cleveland especially, it'll be interesting to monitor the reaction.
Yeah.
Wade and I, you're gone tomorrow. Wade and I will have to maybe monitor the reaction in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Sports Radio.
They've got to be bracing themselves in Cleveland for this thing. Because I'd imagine when we were going through the Deshaun stuff last year, we all were going through it here in Houston with the knowledge that he wasn't going to be a Texan anymore. Like he was a Texan only in name and paycheck. He wasn't going to be a Houston Texan anymore. Cleveland's got a lot more bargaining to do with themselves when it comes to this. And how do they process it? How believable are the accusers? How believable is Deshaun? That's their problem that they've got to worry about. Or if you're listening now and you're still a fan of Deshaun, and maybe I say it's your problem, maybe it's not a problem. Maybe you unconditionally like Deshaun Watson. People are they're all over the board. They're all over the map on this thing. Rusty Harden was on the Between the Lines podcast yesterday. It's a podcast that combines sports and law, and he laid out exactly what the constitution of Deshaun's meetings with the NFL were.
The meeting with the NFL has now been concluded. We have not said this publicly, but now that they're over, we have talked to the NFL for a total of 3 days so far. I think by the time this is over, these will be the longest interviews in the history of the NFL of anybody that they're investigating. They've indicated they want to continue to do some more questioning. And so that portion is still ongoing because as of yesterday, they felt like they hadn't gone through everyone. So that's pending. I don't have a deadline. I suspect that the NFL wants to conclude their investigation sometime this summer. But whether that is June or whether that's August or July, I have no idea. That's their schedule.
Okay. The part where I'm going, okay, well, that stands to reason, Rusty. And Rusty didn't take a tone where he couldn't believe that this was the longest interviews that the NFL has done with a subject of an investigation like Deshaun. But part of me is like, well, yeah, there are 22 accusers. It is going to take a while to flesh a lot of this out.
I thought it was more falling in line with like what public figures do these days, which is just randomly proclaim that anything is the longest or the best or the biggest. Without just say it. Just say it. Yeah. Just say it. Yeah. Oh, it's the best. It's the most anybody's ever seen. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's 22 accusers. The NFL has interviewed a bunch of them. At various times, Busby claimed that the NFL wasn't being fair in those interviews. I don't know what to make of that. It's Busby's an attorney as well.
Yeah.
And whatever they're saying that might help their client, you take it all with a grain of salt.
And just to be clear, I think only half of the plaintiffs actually did interviews with the NFL. So there's 22 women suing Deshaun. Only 11 agreed to be interviewed with the NFL.
Yeah, and again, you got to point out in this, because I fall prey
still
to this
lot.
Too. You forget, though, too, that, like, by the way, the NFL is not a law enforcement agency. Like, they can't tell a woman, hey, we're going to talk to you now. They're very delicate about it because they don't want to be perceived as bullying the woman or anything.
Yep.
So they're very careful about, asking permission, doing it at certain points. They'll get criticism for not talking to the women while they're trying to sit back and wait. And then when they go to talk to the women, they'll get accused of harassing the women. So the NFL's in a tricky spot with all of this. I'm not asking you to cry for the NFL or anything, but I think that
no, but it's important. It's important to point out the differences that in the NFL investigating this and the proceedings in an actual legal environment. There are
there are big
differences in thresholds for punishment. You know, for what constitutes. Deshaun can be guilty of nothing in a court of law and still get suspended by the NFL. That's important to point out. The NFL doesn't have subpoena power, which is the point that you were making. I think it's important to make those distinctions because if you're just jumping into this part of it late and now you're into this because you want to see if Deshaun gets suspended because it impacts the Texans, don't conflate the actual law with the long arm of the NFL. There are differences between the two.
Yeah, this is your boss calling you into the office.
Yeah.
Like your boss calls you into the office and asks, hey, did you take Sally's lunch out of the refrigerator? You're not going to sit there and be like, habeas corpus, like a longitudinal axis. I invoke prima nocte. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the law's not going to help you.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it'll help you after you get fired, you thieving bastard, but not in that conversation.
I'm waiting for the first text that knows what prima nocte is. Invoking prima nocte in an office environment actually would get you in a lot of trouble, I would think.
I invoked it during the Josh and his big ass wedding back in the
you
day.
You did?
When he married those. Yeah, I invoked prima nocte because I was
shouldn't be laughing, but it's very funny. We got a text message here, 713-657. Does Deshaun get his guaranteed money even if he gets suspended indefinitely? I'm actually looking at the SpotRac. SpotRac is a contractual website that lists every player in every sport and the kind of the general terms of their contract. Contract note for Deshaun Watson. Language exists that he will not forfeit his signing bonus or void future guarantees upon suspension. So he actually, normally with an NFL contract, if you were to get suspended, it does void your guaranteed money. Like Ezekiel Elliott got suspended, it voided the guarantees in his deal at the time.
Yeah.
Deshaun went into this deal with the Browns knowing full well there's a good chance he's going to get suspended. So they've got, as you can imagine, David Mulligan is very good at what he does when it comes to this stuff. He's got a clause in there that doesn't void his $230 million guarantee.
They did. I mean, whether you love or hate David Mulligetta, it's or you think he's the best thing to happen to sports agents or the worst, it's I you got to hand it to him. He pulled off a lot of things in this deal that a lot of people thought were going to be impossible. You know, including people that thought I was pretty certain there was going to be a trade. I didn't know. I mean, I was staying wide open because everything was unprecedented. I was pretty certain there was going to be at least a reasonable trade, but the amount of guaranteed money in the deal that he ultimately got.
Oh, my God.
And like you and I had pointed out many times, there was a good chance that Deshaun was actually going to try to get more money out of this deal, for which you and I were unfairly maligned.
We were excoriated for that by some.
People called us all kinds of people made claims about our integrity, Sean, when we said that, look, there might be, and I'm going to be honest with you, everybody. Sean and I knew he was trying to get more money, but there's a certain amount of, like, you got to be, you want to be responsible about it.
Yeah.
So we try to, like, say it as delicately as possible. Like, there's a really good chance he's trying to get more money, and people would call us all kinds of names, Sean, about why we were making these assumptions, what kind of assumptions we were making based on whatever. It was very unfair.
They claimed
it was one of the least unfair things that's ever happened.
They claimed prima nocta on us.
They did. Yeah.
On the text page. Rusty Harden.
But I didn't think he was going to get that much more money.
No, I didn't.
I thought
either.
He might get an extra year guaranteed or something. I didn't think he was going to get the most guaranteed money that anybody's ever gotten
by 50%
in the history of the NFL.
It wasn't by a million. It wasn't one of these things where the talks were $150 million and Deshaun's like, no, I want $151 just so I have the most. $230 million. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, after sitting out a year with allegations still active against him, made Pat Mahomes' contract look like a stupid, silly contract.
Dude,
it's exactly what Deshaun Watson did.
I still think that there's going to be part of the NFL. And the NFL, I do think the new way, and we're going to hear Rusty Harden describe what mechanically is going to happen going from here with Deshaun and a possible suspension. If it were still Roger Goodell directly handing down the punishment, it's not. They go to an independent arbitrator now. God, I got to feel like there's part of Goodell that would want to punish Deshaun in Cleveland just for so brazenly handing $230 million to a guy who's been accused of what Deshaun's been accused of. Nevertheless, here's Rusty Harden from the Between the Lines podcast. Here's what mechanically is going to happen going forward with Deshaun.
What happens mechanically is that the investigators will make a recommendation to Goodell. They will issue their findings. We will have an opportunity to respond to their findings. And then Mr. Goodell will decide what punishment, if any, they are going to recommend or what they're going to offer. We will decide whether we accept that or whether we want a hearing before the independent arbitrator, who now is truly independent. She is a retired federal judge, and it's a much fairer process, ultimately, I think, than was previously the case. These are changes that were in the collective bargaining agreement. So it's been in existence for 2 years, but she hasn't had to have a hearing as yet in the 2 years, because each of the cases that have arisen since the new collective bargaining agreement 2 years ago set up this procedure have settled between the NFL and the player and his representatives. And so she hasn't had to conduct a hearing as yet. But ultimately what's going to happen is that I've always assumed all the publicity and everything. It's going to be very hard for the NFL to have the courage to do what I think should be done, which is no finding.
It's that last part there that I thought was interesting, that it almost sounds like Rusty's expecting a suspension at this point. That last part there, he thinks it's going to be very hard for the NFL to come to a conclusion with no finding against Deshaun Watson. And I agree with that. I will say this, Seth, I think he's got one thing mechanically wrong in there. I don't think Goodell gets involved in the meeting out of the punishment unless it goes to an appeal. I think it goes from the investigation committee to the independent arbitrator, who hands down the punishment. And then if there is a punishment, Deshaun can appeal it, and the appeal goes to Goodell or somebody that Goodell directly appoints. That's how it goes.
The disciplinary officer is jointly hired and compensated by the league and the NFLPA. Once the disciplinary officer issues a decision, the commissioner or his designee continues to have full authority over the appeal.
Yeah.
Based on the language of the policy, the commissioner has broad powers, basically, when the independent arbitrator can deliver the decision. And then it feels, even though it hasn't been tested, it feels a whole lot like the commissioner can be like, meh. I don't approve of your decision.
Well,
it feels like a whole lot of window dressing. If
Deshaun appeals, you know, if he just accepts his punishment, then Goodell doesn't need to get involved.
If any discipline whatsoever is imposed by the disciplinary officer, the commissioner has the power to modify or increase the punishment to whatever he wants it to be, according to Florio.
Okay.
Now listen though, this is the thing: the commissioner can't alter a decision. Cannot alter a decision to not discipline the player at all.
Right.
So that is notable. If the arbitrator says, like, I see no reason to, that's where it gets interesting, because then there would be an outcry of some sort by a portion of fans at the very least. And Goodell at that point is either happy that he can say, hey, I don't have any power to do anything about it, or he can say, oh boy, we messed up in that last season.
Either way, he's powerless. If there is no punishment, that's a great point, Seth. If there's no punishment for Deshaun Watson per the independent arbitrator, then that's the decision. Like, that's it. It is so decreed that he will get zero games suspended. If there is a suspension, that's where an appeal could come in and Goodell could come into play. We'll see. Rusty Harden seems to think this is a June, July, or August thing. Florio seems to think that there's an outside chance that we could get a Friday before Memorial Day news dump on this thing. At least get wind of what the investigative team is recommending to the independent arbitrator.
Yeah. This is you had mentioned earlier about how with us in the Deshaun experience, it all happened while we knew and figured increasingly so that Deshaun was probably going to be gone no matter what. I guess the most similar experience we've had was when Roberto Osuna was signed.
Yeah.
In that situation, everything had been resolved already. The suspension had been levied and he'd served it. And I guess the one big difference was, because of the Canadian legal system, there was just very, very little publicly known about the allegations or anything. And he was a reliever as opposed to the star quarterback. But that was a reliever. It wasn't the star quarterback, you know, type of situation. But it was very, very uncomfortable for a whole lot of Astros fans. So you kind of amplify that times 20 when it's a quarterback of the NFL franchise in your town.
Boy, I'd love to know what they're saying in Cleveland, man. Cleveland is bracing themselves for tonight, I guarantee you. All right, 713-572 4610. Let's circle back to the Astros. Something happened last night with the Astros that has not happened all season long. We'll tell you what it is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.